last couple of times I've been preaching, I've been talking about the subject of worship. And we've really been thinking particularly, very specifically, not about whole life worship, not about worship pervading every particular area of our life necessarily, but really what we do when we get together on a Sunday as a very specific form of worship that we do together. So the first time I stood up and preached on this subject, we talked about... oh, hello, that's weird, isn't it? It's come out weird, Tony. That's really unhelpful because my recap is not in my notes, it's on there. Try the next one, let's see if it works. Oh, it's all a bit odd. The bottom's missing. So we looked at a passage from Colossians chapter 3, and we saw that we are commanded to sing by Scripture, we're created to sing by a singing God, we're compelled to sing by the... A little more helpful. I found it really interesting. I looked in this week to what Jesus and the disciples sang, because it says after the Last Supper, they sang a hymn and then they went out. I thought, what did they sing? Does anybody know? Yeah, Psalms. They call them the Hallel Psalms, probably. Psalm 113 to 118. And I just thought, I looked them up and I was like, crumbs, wow. What? Jesus sang that the night before he knew exactly what was going to happen to him, right? And this is a sustaining thing, okay? Psalm 115, first verse, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. Why do the nations say, where is their God? I was like, Jesus was singing this the night before, the night he was betrayed, really? All your Israelites, trust in the Lord. And then we get on to Psalm 116 and the beginning of that. I love the Lord. Jesus is singing this the night he's betrayed. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. When I was brought low, he saved me. Goodness me. That is a song to sustain you at the end of your life, isn't it? You know? That's the kind of thing. Sorry, that just really struck. That was a digression. But the instruction in this passage of Colossians 3:16 is actually to sing three particular types of songs, isn't it? I'm sure you picked that up. To sing psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. And if that's the instruction of Scripture, how are we doing? Can we define those as separate things? I think there is a bit of crossover and interplay, but I think it's probably worth looking briefly at them separately, actually. So when we talk about psalms, we actually mean the literal Psalter, the psalms in the middle of your Bible, that collection of songs and poems. There's 150. So it's 150 of those psalms that we can be drawing from. It just made me think, though, how often do we actually sing the psalms? They're quoted quite a bit, but how often do we actually sing the psalms? We sang one this morning because I asked James if we could. We sang two this morning because I asked James if we could. The thing about the psalms, Calvin, right, he got the very best poets he could find to put the psalms in metric form, which is basically like singable form, so they rhyme and stuff. And then he got the best composers to set them to music because he wanted the psalms to be sung. And yeah, I know we quote the psalms. Sorry, whoever it was who said that, we quote the psalms a lot in our songs. We could go, oh, that's from the psalms, that's from the psalms. But it's kind of like all the nice bits. Because there are some psalms which you read and go, oh, that's a bit harsh. Oh, God, will you come and slay my enemies? Oh, not sure. But it just got me thinking, if the command or the instruction is to sing the psalms, we perhaps need to give that a bit more thought. We perhaps need to be thinking, you know, how do we do that? And it also got me thinking about the kinds of things that we sing of in church. It's very easy to sing all of the, oh God, you're so brilliant. We love you, Lord. We just want to worship you, God. Thanks for Jesus. Jesus, you're amazing. All of that kind of stuff, which is important.
But it's actually a lot more difficult if, I don't know, if tragedy struck and we really wanted to express that as a community and say, God, where are you? Why have you let this happen? And that's okay to say those things, actually, because God knows you're thinking them anyway. What can we draw on then? We can draw on the Psalms because there are Psalms like that. But it just made me think, where are the songs that have those words in? Well, there is one that we learnt at the weekend away that Rob wrote, actually, which I'm so grateful that he wrote it. Actually, I've forgotten to bring the words. Dan, could you pass me them? Thank you. Thank you very much. So this is a song that Rob wrote. It's called Even If. And these are the words. Lord, I know I need you and I want to want you, but it's hard to feel a thing like in days like these. If I step toward you, will you step toward me? I have nowhere else to turn if you don't come. And the chorus, which is really honest, isn't it? But even if you don't, I'll praise anyway, because I know enough to trust you're the way and you never stop being worthy. Lord, you hear when I call and you call me to trust. There's no one in my life who knows me more. You're able and strong and you'll lead me on the darkest night of all, you will break through. And there's a bridge section that says, you were there when I was weak. You were there when I was numb. You'll be there if I think darkness is my only friend. You'll be there if I despair of life itself. There are very few songs that have those kinds of words in. But actually, they're all very key to the human experience, aren't they? They're all very a part of who we are. And learning to express those as a body, I think, is something that we haven't done, but I think it's something that we can do. And I would kind of lay a bit of a challenge at your door, as much as it might sit with us guys at the worship team and the elders of the church. How do we start to sing the Psalms? How do we start to do that? I don't have an answer, but that's okay, because I don't have to have all the answers. All right, good. So Psalms, lots to think about. Lots to think about. Hymns is the second one. This is probably the most straightforward one for us to think about. Really, it's kind of New Testament times songs of praise, in praise of God or Christ. The problem is, when we see the word hymn, we think old stuff. Have you included a hymn this week for the old people? That's become such a loaded word, hasn't it? Hymns, oh. Hymns, oh. But I really love hymns. I've said it in my previous preach, I think, that hymns are not a millstone round our neck. They're a well to be drunk deep from. All right, they're not something that's going to sink us. They're something that can nourish us, because they're full of great truth expressed really well. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works your hand has made, then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to me, how great you are, if you want to be a bit more contemporary language. But it doesn't mean that. It's kind of a fairly broad term in this sense to mean like basically all the songs that we sing, effectively. Possibly the early church sang hymns that summarised important truths to help them allow the word of Christ to dwell in them richly. And that's kind of what hymns do. Songs that the church know and shares, which feels pretty much like our staple diet, doesn't it? I think that's what is meant by that. And then we come to songs from the Spirit, which is interesting in the translation in the NIV, because in lots of the other translations of this, and in the ESV as well, which is pretty sort of literal, fairly faithful, it says spiritual songs, which sounds a bit wafty, doesn't it? Spiritual songs. Songs from the Spirit is feels like a more robust way of thinking about it. But they would be more sacred songs dwelling on themes other than direct praise to God or Christ, which would be a fairly general definition. But I think, too, they also mean these kind of spontaneous songs, new songs, that this idea that God is doing things constantly in our lives which are worthy of praise, that the Spirit will inspire. And they might be ones that get written down and we teach you, but they might also be ones that just happen as the Spirit inspires you to sing of what he's done. Psalms do start with those words, sing to the Lord a new song. Isaiah says it too, sing to the Lord a new song. Why Why and for what reason can we sing a new song, a new song from the Spirit to the Lord? Well, in Psalm 40, we get a bit of a clue. The psalmist has waited patiently for the Lord for deliverance, and God hears him and rescues him. And one of the things he does for that person in deliverance is puts a new song in his mouth, a song of praise to our God. New songs are great, but they're so appropriate for new rescues and fresh manifestations of the grace of God in our lives. As long as God is gracious towards us, which will be, incidentally, forever, as long as he keeps showing us his power and wowing us with the things that he does, it's fitting that we not just sing old songs inspired by the past graces of God, but we sing new stuff too, and we allow those new songs to bubble out of us. And as British people, we're not very good at that, because it feels a bit exposing to kind of spontaneously just sing out a praise to the Lord, doesn't it? I don't know how you feel when any of us worship leaders stand up here and go, sing out your praise to God. Some of you go, yes, woo, yeah, Lord, I love you. Some of you are going, oh, no, not that bit again. But what we're trying to do is actually to help you, to help you bring this bit of scripture alive, to let this bit of the message of Christ dwell among you richly, that the Spirit is doing things for you. Just express it. If you think you can't sing a note, it doesn't make any difference. We've talked about this, the first preach I did in the worship series about singing. It's not about whether you can sing, it's about the Lord tells you to do it. Get on and have a go. The people around you, hopefully, are going to be enormously blessed by going, wow, look at how they're just going for it. That's brilliant. Maybe I could go for it too. I want to encourage you that it's not something to be shy of doing. The worshippers in heaven are said to be singing a new song. The four living creatures, 24 elders, sing a new song. Forever God will continue to show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians 2:7. And as he does, for his glory and our joy, we can keep singing these new songs. And I just want, on a very practical note, when there's an exhortation, encouragement from the front to sing out to the Lord, even if you can't call to mind a specific thing that God has done to you, just sing thank you. If you love Jesus, say just, oh, I love you, Jesus. Just sing it out on one note. It doesn't really matter. If you can't sing at all and you're just going all over the place, sing I love you, Jesus. There's actually immense kind of spiritual benefit to you in doing that, in letting that praise out, in allowing the Spirit to fill you up and let it overflow. Okay, does that make sense? Happy to have a go? Oh, said one of you. Cheers, Paige. And the last thing in this is singing with gratitude in your hearts to God. Singing with gratitude. You know, just come with a thankful heart. Come with a thankful heart. You know, even in the darkest times, even in, you know, the words of that song that Rob wrote, even if you don't, I'll praise anyway. It's that kind of determination to come and be thankful to the Lord. I've got loads of other stuff, but I'm not going to do it. I really would love us to spend some time just worshipping and enjoying God together, and I don't want to overrun for ages, so I'm going to invite James and Emily to come back up. The great thing about worship and thinking about singing and the songs that we choose and all that kind of stuff, and maybe this has been a bit different this morning, it's not been the most kind of exhortation-y, you know, gospel-y whatnot, but I hope it helps you to see, you know, just that worship is an amazing thing, and to be able to sing in the praise of the Lord is such a privilege and a joy, and we get to do it now. You know, we get to start right now. You know, we don't have to wait for some time way in the future. In 2 minutes' time, when we start to sing, you get to do it. You get to sing and build up your brothers and sisters and praise the Lord. And hopefully James will be able to come to a point where he says, okay, guys, sing out. And you'll all be really brave and just go for it. Because we're in this together and it's about building one another up. And I know when I'm up here and I'm leading worship, if I look out and see people who are just singing their praise to the Lord and going for it, and they've just got their hands in the air and the joy of the Lord is on their face, it's such an encouragement to me. And I know you'll be an encouragement to the people around you if you step over the line and just go for it this morning. Do you want to stand? I'm going to pray for us. Father God, thank you so much that you call us to declare your praises. It's just an amazing thing, a beautiful privilege that we get to come and praise you, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you that you've chosen us, that we're your chosen people, that we're a royal priesthood, that we're a holy nation, that you have said we are your special possession. Wow, thank you, Lord. So that we can declare your praises, the praises of you who called us out of darkness into your wonderful light. Lord, help us just to step out and worship and love you and spend time enjoying you now as we praise and worship together. We want to meet with you, Father. We want to sing your praise, lift you up and build one another up. Help us to do that in Jesus' name.